Work takes up most of your time. That's why you should use Stamps.com to save time with your mailing and shipping, and have flexibility to focus on more important things. Stamps.com can handle all your mailing and shipping needs with rates up to 88% off USPS and UPS. Add flexibility to your day with Stamps.com. Go to stamps.com/program to sign up for a special offer. No contract, cancel anytime. That's stamps.com/program.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Well, the short answer to the question is yes, for now. The SEC's reign in college football has come to an end. Now let's get to the long answer here on Heartland College Sports. I'm Pete Mundo. Thank you for being a part of the show, as always, and joining us. And if you're new here, or even if you're not, make sure you are subscribed to the channel. And if you're on the podcast, just drop us that 5-star rating and review. It does help us tremendously as we continue to grow and build the show. And it's happening because of you. So college football playoff semifinals came and went. The national championship game is all set between Ohio State and Notre Dame. And what does that mean? What this means is that for the first time since 2004-2005, we are getting a national championship that does not have an SEC team in it for the first time in 20 years in back-to-back national championship games. That's right. So you got to go back to 04, which was the 04 season, January of 05, when it was USC beating Oklahoma 55-19, and the year after that was Texas-USC. Of course, that was the classic Vince Young game when Texas beat USC 41-38. That was the last time we had back-to-back national championship games without an SEC team in it. 20 years ago now at this point. So what it signals to me is that, yes, the SEC, I am not going to sit here and tell you otherwise, is still top-heavy and has some of the best teams in college football. I don't deny that. But the transfer portal has allowed the playing field to somewhat level out. Look at what we're seeing just in the Big 12 alone. The best transfer portal class in America this year is Texas Tech. Why? They opened up the wallet. It's really that simple. There's nothing else to it. Now, listen, it's not meant to be a knock on Joey McGuire. I think he's a great coach. I want him to succeed. I want to see Texas Tech be what it was in the heyday under Mike Leach. But let's be very clear about this. The reason Texas Tech has the top team in the transfer portal is because they're paying guys a lot of money to come to Lubbock. That's the main reason. Not saying there aren't other factors, but that is indisputably the main reason. You are seeing guys who might get some run at top-tier programs, might get some looks, say, you know what, let me look somewhere else. Let me go somewhere I can play. So a couple of things are happening here. And this is what's really interesting. And I think one of the angles of the transfer portal and NIL that might have gotten overlooked. Even guys who were, you know, high 3N star recruits, low 4-star recruits, might be sitting on depth charts somewhere around, you know, big time programs and say, it's time for me to go get my reps. And maybe I make a little coin while I'm doing it. That's the smart thing to do. You got to play. The idea of sitting around 2-3 years and waiting your turn, those days are over in college football. Same thing in college basketball, but especially in college football. So guys are looking elsewhere. And they're looking maybe at programs that wouldn't be considered blue bloods, and I put up my air quotes when I say that, around the sport. And there's certainly a lot of those teams in the Big 12 Conference, right? There are teams that are highly successful in their own right, but may not be in the eyes of the gatekeepers of college football, the truest of true blue bloods. And yes, I hope you hint the sarcasm there. And they're saying, well, I can play. I can compete at a high level. I can make it to a college football playoff. I can play the best of the best if my team has a great year. What do I have? Oh, and I can make some money. What do I have to lose? That's how you're seeing the sport get transformed right now. And the proof is in the pudding. I mean, Texas maybe would have gotten to the national championship game, but let's be honest, it's their first year in the SEC. SEC fans would have been beside themselves if they had to root for the Texas Longhorns in the national championship. Let's just be honest. That is not something that they would have wanted to do. But they had no choice if they were going to keep that SEC banner waving high. So now you look at some of the moves that are being made. I mean, Georgia lost its quarterback. Now, I know it's to Miami, and some of you might say, well, Miami's just another blue blood. They're just out of the ACC. Still, the Georgia Bulldogs lost their quarterback. Okay? I mean, that is unfathomable a few years ago. A team that was a couple of games away from a national championship once again. Now, I know he didn't even play in that game because he was banged up, but still, you think about where things are at right now, and it is a very different world. It's why the last few weeks were so important for changing the narrative. And it's also why many of the SEC fanboys worked so hard to pursue their narrative. Lane Kiffin, we know who the talking heads are, Kirk Herbstreit, you know, you can go down the list. They worked so hard on a narrative that turned out to be completely wrong. I mean, even Indiana, right? Indiana's two losses now to the two teams playing for a national championship. I wasn't sitting here. I'm a Big 12 guy. I mean, that's what we do at Heartland College Sports. We cover the Big 12. I didn't watch every Indiana game, but I'll tell you right now, if I'm an Indiana fan, I am bragging every single day about my losses coming to the two teams in the national championship because you know like heck, that's how the SEC plays its games. They qualify and brag about their losses arguably more than they qualify and brag about their wins. In fact, their losses are worth wins in other conferences, is what they tell you. That's the SEC blueprint. So if I'm Indiana, I am going to town on that. And if you had intellectually honest folks in college football media, they would be saying the same exact thing because that's how they talk about the SEC. But because it's Indiana, not a big-time brand, because it's not the SEC, they're going to do it. If that was Ole Miss, oh my gosh. Or any other SEC school, if that was LSU, they'd be talking about it all week long, leading up to the championship game. They'd be saying, boy, you know, maybe this team should have been respected a little bit more. Look at who they've lost to. I promise you, nobody in college football this week is going to talk about Indiana. And I'm not saying they should. I'm just saying, you know, and I know if the shoe was on the other foot and this was the SEC and an SEC team, oh my goodness, they'd be doing it in a heartbeat. And all these teams, Notre Dame, Ohio State, so many others, they saved us from having to go through what would have been an incestual 10 days of SEC propaganda leading up to that national championship game. Now there's not a whole lot to say. Even Paul Feinbaum is kind of falling on the sword a little bit. He said, this is significant. This is what Paul Feinbaum said with the national championship game not having an SEC team in it for two straight years. First time it's happened in 20 years. He said, everyone always thinks that those of us who live in SEC country try to hide things like that. Even today, we're still arguing for Alabama to get in. But that's a dramatic moment. It's a seminal moment in time that I did not expect, especially with a 12-team playoff. It's really amazing when you think about it. The last time the SEC missed the title game was before Saban. Urban Meyer had just arrived at Florida. Les Miles was about to start roaming the sidelines. To think we're in that moment is cause for a lot of concern, at least in the southern part of the world. Yes, the rain is ending. The propaganda machine is running out of steam, and I'm here for it. And frankly, every honest college football fan, except for those in the southeast part of the country, should also be here for it. See, the goal here for the SEC was to jam this playoff up with 4 to 5 of their teams, with basically just playing the numbers. Think about it. If you play the numbers, you get more teams in, your odds go up with every team you get into the playoff. It's just that simple. So once again, if they got their 4-5 teams in, they would find themselves in a place where at least one of them would get through, right? That was the hope. Well, three got in. None of them made it to the playoff, or none of them made it to the championship game. Only one of them made it to the semifinals. And then even in the other bowl games, Alabama losing to Michigan. A Michigan team that was mediocre at best, had a great win against Ohio State, but, you know, no one thought of Michigan as one of these, well, they're playing in the Big Ten, so when you go 6-6 in the Big Ten, that's like going 9-3 in another conference. Nobody said that about Michigan. They went out there and smoked Alabama. And the only excuse you could possibly make for Alabama, which SEC fans do all the time, is, well, you know, they don't really care. If it's not a playoff game anymore, SEC teams just, they just don't care. It's not a, they don't give a rip. That's always how it goes. I've been around it. You've been around it. I've owned Heartland College Sports for literally, we're in year 11 now. And part of the reason was because I was disgusted with the mainstream media attempt to prop up the SEC. And this was still on the front end of it, right? I mean, you go back to that 04-05 reign when there was no SEC team in the national championship, and that was before Urban Meyer, Tim Tebow. That was before all of that. Then you got into Les Miles, LSU, and then Nick Saban started his run at Alabama, and it went all the way up through Kirby Smart a couple of years ago at Georgia. But you're seeing this kind of fall down now. You're seeing a collapse. Now, you might look at the transfer portal and say, well, there's plenty of good players staying in the transfer portal. Here's what happens, though, and this is what you're seeing play out in real time. What you're seeing play out in real time is SEC teams getting other SEC players. They're getting high-end players in the transfer portal. I don't deny that, but it's just guys moving around to make an extra buck here or there. Where you're also seeing gains is in the non-traditional teams, maybe the lesser blue bloods, i.e. Texas Tech. You can put Colorado into that basket as well, I believe, where guys are maybe not getting the run they thought they would get at a major program, and they're saying, where can I go, where can I play, and where can I compete? And that's what's happening for programs like Texas Tech. And, you know, we saw it play out very well for Colorado this year. You saw, you know, even Big 12 teams do it the old-fashioned way, build programs, BYU, Iowa State. You saw all that play out as well. So all of a sudden, these things are happening, and it's not a coincidence to me that once paying players became the law of the land, the SEC's reign appears to be coming to an end. I don't believe that's a coincidence. Now, let me address something else here on the show. Pete Mundo, Heartland College Sports, we're glad that you are here. Looking at where some of you guys are joining us from, Coal City, West Virginia, Wisconsin, Durant, Oklahoma, Amarillo, Texas, Bellevue, Nebraska. Thank you guys for being here as a part of the show.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health. A world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
So let me just address this, and then I'll get to some hoops here on the show. The ratings. So I saw this over the weekend. 17.8 million people watched Penn State Notre Dame in the college football playoff semifinals. That is down from the 27.8 million people who watched Alabama-Michigan last year. Now, the SEC mantra coming out of that is, oh, see, if we're not in it, no one cares. Nobody's watching. This sport needs us. You cannot compare Alabama-Michigan last year to Penn State-Notre Dame this year in the Final Four. And there are a multitude of reasons for that. Number one, Alabama-Michigan last year was an epic game, and it was at the Rose Bowl. You know how many people watch the Rose Bowl just because it's the Rose Bowl, New Year's Day? I mean, that's what families have been doing for generations. This year, you had a college football playoff semifinal that was on a Thursday night after the New Year. People aren't sitting around on New Year's Day waiting to watch the Rose Bowl. It's just, you can't compare these two. It's not even up for debate. You had, obviously, weather hammer the southern part of the United States, which probably meant that people that might have casually tuned into this game were not tuned in, especially in SEC country, because they were dealing with a bunch of weather during the week. So, I mean, you look at that and you say to yourself, it's not about how the SEC carries the sport. It's not what it's about. You put Penn State, Notre Dame on New Year's Day, college football playoff semifinal in the Rose Bowl, maybe you're not getting 27, 8 million, but you're not down 10 million. I promise you that much. So you cannot compare those two and say it's apples to apples, because it's not by any stretch. I also think the college football season is dragging itself a long way too long. I mean, you know, by MLK Day, when this national championship game gets played, I'm sorry, a lot of people are moving on. I would not be messing with the NFL playoffs if I'm college football. I would have this season tied up and wrapped up before the NFL playoffs wildcard weekend. That's what I would do. At this point, get rid of championship weekend. It doesn't mean anything. I mean, look at who's in the national championship. Two teams that didn't play in a conference championship game. Ohio State didn't make the Big Ten title game, and Notre Dame has the best scam going in college football. They don't have to play in a conference championship game. They get this whole one foot in, one foot out thing with the ACC, and they're never going to have to play in a championship game. They're going to set their own schedule. If they go 11-1, they'll be in the playoff, and that'll be that. And they keep all the money for themselves. These other conferences, these other teams have to split the money with the conferences. Notre Dame is, I think I saw, making $20 million getting to the national championship. And they pocket every dollar. They're not giving anything to the ACC. So that's where the sport needs to look at how to change things moving forward. Maybe you start a week earlier. You know, you have week zero be the new week one. You get rid of the conference championship games, and you just get right to a 12-team playoff. Maybe you do 1v12, however you want to do it. But I really think that the season is dragging on too long. You end the season, I would say New Year's Day. If you want to go till the Monday after that, before the NFL playoffs start, that's fine too. But I still think that this sport should be ending on a Saturday, or at the very latest, on one of those classic days like New Year's Day at the Rose Bowl or something like that. That's where this sport should be trending. So that's where we're at. I'm Pete Mundo. We're Heartland College Sports. We are glad that you are here and a part of the show. So let's talk some basketball for a few minutes. I think you're starting to see teams separate themselves in the Big 12 Conference. Now, we went into conference play thinking that things were maybe going to be more wide open, because you had some teams who were disappointing throughout non-conference play, right? Arizona looked like a shell of what we thought they were going to be. Baylor had some surprising losses. Same with Texas Tech. You just saw teams that you thought were going to be maybe on the higher end. Even, heck, Houston, right? Houston, I don't want to say they limped into conference play, but they already had three losses by the time league play started. No one really predicted that for the Houston Cougars. Kansas had a couple of surprising losses. But now, already, you're seeing the separation. And we talk a lot about how the Big 12 in football And same thing in basketball, but especially in football, has that depth, right? That great depth where anybody can beat anybody. There isn't necessarily that top tier. I'm starting to wonder if the depth in the Big 12 basketball season is not going to be what we thought it was before the season. And that we're going to get a very clear separation across Big 12 basketball. Now, a separation we expected, but a separation nonetheless. Where we're really looking at, you know, half a dozen teams that we think are legit in the Big 12, and everybody else is kind of fighting from middle of the pack to the bottom of the pack. Now, who are those teams? Here's who I would put on that list. Iowa State, Houston, Arizona, Kansas. I would throw Baylor, West Virginia, and Texas Tech in there right now. So that's seven. I think you got seven teams, and you have to give Texas Tech credit because they just, you know, did what they did. And I know it's a tough loss. I know if you're a Texas Tech fan, you're probably kicking yourself in terms of how that Iowa State game went, and you should be kicking yourself. You make some free throws, and that game is very different, right? Iowa State made the free throws down the stretch. Texas Tech did not. It's really that simple. But I'm going to throw Texas Tech into that mix. I think they're worthy of being in that conversation, but maybe you want to drop them out, whatever, that's fine. Maybe it's recency bias with the way they played against Iowa State. Still, I'm going to put seven teams in there. After that, I think that at this point, there's a pretty precipitous drop-off to the rest of the conference. And I'm happy to be proven wrong. We're still early in league play, and I'm happy to hear your commentary on who you think that might be. That's, you know, maybe 1-3 right now in conference play that might just pop, that might have a late run in conference play that people might not be looking at right now and say, hey, you know, that's a team that can surprise down the stretch. They've just got to find their footing. But the teams that we thought were going to be big disappointments, Arizona, maybe a Houston, I mean, they have completely turned things around. And they're winning games by double digits. I mean, Arizona is blowing teams out. Houston is destroying teams. Iowa State was doing that until they ran into a tough game at Texas Tech. So that's where I'm seeing that separation right now in the Big 12. And then you have teams that have been really disappointing. Kansas State is a mess. I mean, Jerome Tang is really trying to find new excuses by the day, and I don't think the K-State fan base is buying it because every loss is getting worse. Ever since they upset Cincinnati in their first Big 12 game, which they desperately needed to snap a three-game losing streak coming out of non-conference play, they've lost to TCU by a point, and they should have won that game. They were up by 6 with 3 minutes left. Then they lose to Oklahoma State by 13, and then they get destroyed by 30 points against Houston at home. And they're playing Coleman Hawkins, what, a couple million dollars? I mean, that is just a horrific start to the year for Jerome Tang, but he's got an $18 million buyout. What are you going to do? Right? What are you going to do? You look at some of these other teams, and Cincinnati's a big surprise at 0-4, but I was talking to a big Cincinnati fan the other day, and, you know, as he noted, he said the problem for Cincinnati is they have a very easy non-conference. They play the Northern Kentuckys, the Nichols, the Moorhead States, the Arkansas Pine Bluffs, and they start off 10-1, 11-1. Everyone's like, oh, Cincinnati, and they're not prepared for the Big 12. They don't play in those tough preseason or non-conference tournaments, and you know, then they get smacked down in league play, and that's exactly what is happening to Cincinnati right now. Exactly what's happening. And it makes you wonder if this thing totally goes off the rails, what it means for Wes Miller there. But, you know, you go back to Saturday, and you see the way some of these games played out, and you had the great overtime game in Lubbock, where Iowa State pulled off the comeback win. Kansas handled Cincinnati. Cincinnati scored 15 points in the second half. 15. You got to try to score 15 points. And Kansas's defense has not been great. Houston smoking Kansas State 87-57. You got the TCU win over BYU at home. And TCU really needed that game. Utah blasting Oklahoma State for its first Big 12 win of the season. Baylor getting by Arizona State on the road. Baylor starting to come together as well. And that game went to overtime too. So Arizona State had a big second half, but Baylor took care of business in overtime. And that led to the Bears going to 3-1 in league play. And then Arizona just keeps doing its thing, pulled away in that second half, and really looked good doing it. So all in all, it was one of those things that you have to be really proud of when you look at where the Big 12 is and where this conference is going forward when it comes to the hardwood. But you are starting to see already in mid-January teams separate themselves from the pack, which may be different from what you saw on the football field during the season. Pete Mundo on Heartland College Sports. Yes, yes, guys, I told you we were going to start talking hoops here on the show. Are you Yeti? He writes, people still watching basketball? Yes. Big 12 basketball is going to be darn good. We are looking at what is going to be a fantastic season. We have a lot of coverage for you coming up all season long at heartlandcollegesports.com. We are glad that you are here looking at some of the places you guys are watching from. Ames, good to see our folks up in Ames. Coolidge, Arizona. Georgia. Clinton, Iowa, Houston. So great stuff all around. We are glad that you are here. I'm Pete Mundo. HeartlandCollegeSports.com is where you find us covering the Big 12 Conference. Go to our message boards, sign up. They are free. We're not looking for anything. And speaking of things that are free, it's free for you to subscribe to the channel. It is free for you to right now on Apple or Spotify, hit that 5-star rating and review. So appreciate you doing that. We've got great shows to come. Have an awesome day. I'm Pete Mundo, Heartland College Sports. Go Big 12. We'll talk to you soon.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.